Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Last week we went on a journey. We talked about 2 Samuel chapter 12. We told the story about how David was in the midst of tremendous favor in his life. How he was in so much favor with God that God told him, had you even asked for something else that I did not give you willingly, I would have gave it to you. And in the midst of so much favor, after coming out of one of the worst seasons of his life, having been hunted down like a dog by King Saul, God brought him out of his valley, and now he's sitting at the pinnacle of his life. And because he did not know how to handle success in his life, he got in a lot of trouble. Because success is harder to handle than failure. As a matter of fact, David was should have been out fighting the battle at war, but instead he stayed behind. And in the midst of favor, he became unfocused. In the midst of prosperity, he became elusive. And so he's sitting on top of this house, and he looks over at this other house, and there's this beautiful naked woman taking a bath outside. Her name was Bathsheba. And David was so drawn to her because she was gorgeous. And he went and he told his guys, go get this woman for me. And so she comes to the king's palace. And David sleeps with her and they have a son. And David does what a lot of us do when we act like a kid as an adult. He spent a lot of time trying to cover up his sins. Do you realize trying to cover up your mess is exhausting? It's absolutely exhausting trying to hide your tracks. Can I get an amen? Amen? And so he spent all this time exhausting himself trying to hide his tracks. And so what he did is he tried to cover it up. So he took Uriah. And the problem was Bathsheba was Uriah's wife. And Uriah was David's best friend. And so Uriah was placed on the front of the battle so he would be killed instantly. And David had him killed. And then all of a sudden, a real prophet, not any of those nuts you see on television, a real one, showed up named Nathan and looked at David and said, David, let me tell you a story. And he tells this story about how a poor man was cheated out of a lamb. And David became infuriated because the poor man had been cheated out of a lamb. And he said, this rich man will pay back four times what he's stolen. And Nathan, the prophet, looked at him and said, you are the man. Every man needs somebody that will speak truth into his life, whether they like it or not. And so Nathan said, you are the man. And then what happened was Nathan confronted him. Now I want you to pick up with that story, because what we learned last week was that inside every king is a kid, a childish behavior. And we learned that 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11 says that when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. I think like a child. I reason is the Greek. I reasoned like a child. And we realized that childish behavior keeps us from the king in us. The childish decisions, immature behavior. We called it being ill last week. Inward immaturity. What is inward immaturity? It's having a low threshold, low tolerance for being frustrated. It's always needing immediate gratification. It's a temper tantrum. It's a demanding behavior. It's being insensitive to others. It's lacking empathy. It's always trying to have to be in control. It's passive aggressive. It takes everything personal. It seeks immediate gratification. It's unable to stick to anything. Can't keep the same job for no amount of time. It blames everybody else. Always yields to temptation. Always complaining. Always needy. Always impatient. And when we see people like that, we say, you know what? Those people just need to grow up. And so Paul says, if you want to grow up, it begins with your systems. When you were a child, you would speak like a child. When you were a child, you understood like a child. Some of you still think the divorce of your parents is your fault. You reason, you think like a child. No one likes me. And the way we think keeps us as a child. You may be 77 years old right now, but you're a kid on the inside. You may be 32 and you can't keep your pants on and stay faithful to your wife. It's because all of your life you've wanted immediate gratification. The kid David in you is killing the king in you, because God has a purpose for every one of you underneath the sound of my voice. He's got big plans for you. God doesn't hate you. God's not mad at you. God isn't getting ready to get even with you. God wants to bless your socks off. He just needs your obedience to do so. And so everybody wants to get the kid out of the king. Put your hands together and give God a hand clap of praise in here. But I want you to notice something. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 4 stay in 2 Samuel. Please forgive me. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 13. Now watch what happens. David had a baby out of wedlock, killed his daddy, married his mama. And the thing that David did after he was confronted with childish behavior, David responded, verse 13, chapter 12, to Nathan the prophet and said, "I've sinned against the Lord." Now look at verse 19. It said, "When David saw that his servants were whispering to each other, he guessed that the baby was dead." Now turn the page and go to verse 23. And this is what's so amazing about a kid turning into a king. And that's what I want to talk to you this morning about. How do you turn the kid into a king? "But now that he's dead," he said, "there's nothing I can do about the consequences of my behavior. Why should I fast? There's nothing I can do except accept responsibility." And he says, and he begins to think like an adult for the first time in three chapters. And he says, "You know, I cannot bring the baby back." And then he says these words, "But I can live my life in so much maturity that I can go and see him." And so, speaking like an adult is not easy. But I want you to go to Genesis 4, 6 through 7. I'm going to lay a lot of scriptures down, so I'm going to teach this morning. And I'm going to give an altar call. I didn't in the first service, and we had a great turnout this morning at 9 o'clock. Wonderful service. I want you to go to Genesis 4, 6 through 7, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified Version. And I want you to notice what God saw when he showed up at the sign of a crime scene of the first murder. God walked on the crime scene of the first murder. And Cain had killed Abel out of anger. And here's what God says. "And the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you so emotional, angry? And why does your emotions show on your face? Why do you look so sad, emotion, and depressed, emotion, and dejected, emotion?'" And God says to Cain, "If you would obey me and live by my laws, would you not do well and be accepted?" And he says, "If you don't do well, if you don't do what I ask of you, if you live like a kid when I have a kingdom plan for you, then you need to realize that sin crouches at your door, and that your emotions, your desires, are going to get the best of you and destroy the king in you. It's going to destroy the king in you." And we learned last week that our emotions need mastery, that our emotions are a gauge, not a guide, and that we've got to be careful. One of the things you don't want to do while you're trying to get the kid out of the king is to suppress your emotions. Every good counselor will tell you that the words that come out of your mouth and speaking something is part of the healing. As a matter of fact, someone will say it's 50% of the healing to stand up and say to someone you love and trust, "I've been molested." It's part of the healing to stand up and say, "My ex-husband used to abuse me and I never told anyone." It's part of the healing process to stand up and say, "I used to be a bulimic," or "I used to be a methamphetamine addict and God saved me." And this church is full of recovering people now. There's something about facing shame that empowers you to turn the kid into a king. And you have to realize that if you don't do this, if you don't have a safe place or a Nathan to say, "I've sinned," or "I've messed up," or "this has happened to me," even if it wasn't your fault, that if you suppress your emotions, you'll get sick. Now, let me tell you something. You may have never written down a word I have ever said in all the times you've been coming to this church, and you should be, because the word of God's a seed. But you need to write this one down. You're only as sick as your secrets. We can go home. Every head bow, every eye closed. You're only as sick as your secrets. And the devil knows how to use shame, which is an emotion. He knows how to use guilt, which is an emotion, against your life. And it's interesting that when God walked up on the first crime scene of the first murder, he noticed the emotional effects on the outward individual. I'm going to say something controversial, but as the weeks go on, you're going to learn to believe me, if you don't already. And that is that when you deal with your emotions, you're dealing with your sins. I want everybody to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 through 7. I want you to understand how to get the kid out of the king. Anybody want to walk in emotional maturity? Say amen. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 through 7 says, "That is why I remind you," and it uses the Greek word fan into flames. "The gracious gift," which is always the word gift, is charisma in the Greek, which is the word for grace. The gracious grace of God. It really is the Greek word which means that there is an inner fire and a special endowment inside every human being. First and Second Peter talks about this as well, that says that God has already given you everything you need to get the kid out of the king. And so it says that which is in you, so it's in us, and it goes through the laying on of hands, the special endowment. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, which are emotions, but he's given us a spirit of power and love and sound judgment and personal discipline. And the word personal discipline is the word for emotions. It actually means that you learn how to remain calm. You learn how to be well balanced. You learn how to stay in self-control when your ex-husband shows up and tries to manipulate you with the children. It means that God has already given you what you need to get the kid out of you so the king and you can rule, because God is not against you, he's for you, and he won't ask anything of you that he's not already equipped you to be. So how many of you believe God has already given you what you need? Can I say amen? Lift your hands. He's already given us what we need. The Bible says that very clearly. So then what's the problem? Let me suggest to the court this morning, it's the words that are coming out of your mouth. Because the way in which your inward wiring becomes more like an adult and mature rather than an immature child is when your wiring learns how to speak like an adult, understand like an adult, and think like an adult. The problem is you're still thinking or speaking like a child, which means you ramble a lot. You don't say anything, and you talk when you shouldn't talk. But when you begin to speak like an adult, you don't talk like a child. A child will say, "Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to play ball with me. Nobody wants to give me a turn at bat. Everybody hates me. Everybody is against me." I'm here to tell you that Jesus is living in your soul, and he's given you a special endowment. He's deposited the power of the Holy Spirit inside each and every one of you, and you are not a failure. You are not a mistake. You have not seen your best days. You're not too old to fulfill the call of God on your life. You are not too fat. You're not too skinny. You're not too ugly. You are not unhandsome. You are not unbeautiful. You are created in the image of God, and your lips need to start lining up with what the word says about you, and you need to stop talking like a child that's defeated every time he turns around. Somebody's got to grow up and learn how to speak faith. Your lips will create the environment you live in. When you look at John 15 and you realize that a lot of you, your emotions are what causes you to feel no hope. You know what? I'm going to just get vulnerable here, and I'll probably regret saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I'm speaking as an adult, not like a child. I've thought about what I'm about to say. Every week when I get up here, I look around for people who I know needs this message. And most of the time, they're not here. They call me, they text me, they bug the living daylights out of me all week long. And then they wonder why their life's not where it should be in victory. It's because you're acting like a 12-year-old and you're 50-something years old. It's time to grow up and learn that you cannot obey every emotion you have. Just because you feel dejected doesn't give you the right to go get drunk. Just because you don't want to feel your emotions does not give you the right to self-medicate. Just because you watch pornography on the internet and you don't want to risk rejection from a real human being does not give you the right not to grow up. You got to realize it's time to stop your temper tantrum. It's time to stop your martyrdom. You're always the martyr. No, it's never anybody else's fault but yours. I got something to tell you, big boy, young lady. It's time to grow up. John 15, 1 through 17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible says, if, everybody shout if you remain in me, and my words, the things you speak, my words remain in you, in your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you remain, people say, well, I tried it for 4 months this summer and it didn't work. Listen, Abraham, I got a news bulletin for you. It took you 20 years to see the promises of God. Israel, you were a slave for 420 years and God delivered you, and then it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. God will speak a word into you, but you will have to mature that word. And you used to, when you're a baby, when you're a child, you speak like a foolish child. No one likes me. I'm not good enough. You have demanding behavior. You're aggressive. You're constantly trying to control everything. You have the behavior of a child. And the Bible says you got to put it away. It's not going to happen accidentally. You got to put it away. It's not going to go away on its own. And so the first rule to get the kid out of the king is change what you're saying to yourself. To say what you're speaking about your environments. If you say, my daddy was an alcoholic and I'll always be an alcoholic, listen, that's exactly what you're going to be. If you say you can't do it, if you say the world's against you, if you say you're too old to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you say God doesn't like you, if you say your wife hates you, if you say you got a bad marriage, I can promise you in a year, that is what you will have. And I know there's kooks on TV that abuse what I'm saying, but I'm here to tell you exegetically and hermeneutically, you're on great ground today, because I'll stand before God and give an account for what I teach you. I come to the pulpit every week with fear and trepidation, thinking and praying, God, make sure I got it right. If I'm wrong, show me. And I'll bet anybody $1,000 in here to prove me wrong on what I'm telling you about how the power of life and death is in your tongue. And one of the things you got to realize is that when you begin to grow up, you stop talking like a child. He says, when my words are in you and your words are in me, I can ask what I will. And that's the problem. A lot of you doing a lot of asking, but there ain't nothing in your tank. My God, that'll preach, Russell. You need to be looking like this. I'm glad it takes some stretching to do that for me now. A lot of you are empty on the inside, so you're asking things, but you're sleeping with your boyfriend. You're asking for things, but you're still negative about your life and your job and your wife and your children. Everything that comes out of your mouth, you're cursing your environment. You hate your job. You hate your boss. You speak negativity every time you turn around. And you wonder why your world is negative. You wonder why it seems like the whole world is against you. And you say, well, I spoke the word of God. It ain't about a positive confession, honey. It's about positively confessing the word of God. And the word of God will not return void unto you. But if you speak the word of God about healings and eat 10 ding-dongs every afternoon, you can speak it until the cows come home. But when you align yourself in the righteousness of the scriptures and you begin to eat right and do what God has told you to do, and then you can speak Isaiah 53. And if you abide in him and he abides in you and his words abide in you and your words abide and his words abide in you, you can ask whatsoever things you will and it shall be given unto you. But a lot of you have got no return on your speech because there's nothing inside of you which is the word of God to activate the environment you're in. Right. My God, that's good preaching for a white boy. I got to hurry. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. It says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There it is, about what's in you. And we already know in 2 Timothy that the word, the Spirit of God has been deposited in you. And it said, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil things. That word speak there, where it says, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, is the same Greek word in 1 Corinthians 13 and 11 when it talks about speaking like a child, which means you just spurt it out. The world is falling apart. Everybody hates me. I want you to understand, when are you precious people going to wake up and realize you're created in the image of God? That's not pride. That's knowledge. And you perish because of lack of knowledge. Don't go around saying, I am depressed. Don't go around saying, I'm not enough. Don't go around being intimidated and saying that I don't have any opportunities. You need to speak with your mouth the words of the living God. God wants me to prosper. I'm paying my tithes. Malachi says, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Lord, I have got an opportunity for a great job. And if that job you got, this is a great opportunity, is intimidating you, you better pray, because it probably is God. If it doesn't intimidate you, it's not God. And so what does it mean to speak? Lelu in the Greek. It means a dumb man. It means a child who talks too much. It involves the intellect part of the man. And then the word idle. Every idle word, it says. Eragos means every word you don't employ with purpose. Every word that is inactive. Oh, it just scares me to death. And you sound something so simple like that. I used to say that all the time. The Lord convicted me of it. He really did. You may think I'm a nut today, but you try it for a week and come back and apologize to me. I used to say, that scares me to death. And the Lord said, since when was death your friend? I went through major depression as the pastor of this church. And I had to dig myself out of it with a good counselor. And I have learned to be proactive rather than reactive in my life. And I've had to do a whole lot of hard work. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm more emotionally healthy today than I've ever been in the history of my existence. And you want to know why? Because I started confessing with my mouth the word of God. I started speaking the word over my life and over my marriage and over my children and over the people they date and marry. I have cursed every boy that doesn't love God in 100 miles of this place. And when it says you're going to be judged for every idle word that comes out of your mouth, the word eragos actually means words that are unprofitable. Damn you. What are you looking at me for? Some of you don't understand why Jesus isn't activating the word in you, and you use his name as a curse word. You're looking at me for saying the word damn, and you ain't opened up your Bible all week. Let's get right. Let's take the mask off. This church is real. The Bible literally says that every word that is not employed with purpose, every word that is not, that is inactive, every word that is unprofitable, I'm a loser. It says, don't let it come out of your mouth. And you say, well, you know, most Christians don't live this way. Exactly. It's my point. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, is just because the majority of the body of Christ has lost the truth of the word of God, and half the preachers don't even believe it anymore, doesn't mean you got to drink the Kool-Aid too. So I want to talk about this just real quick. I'm going to write these scriptures down. So how do you get the kid out of the king? It takes the power of speaking the word of God. In Genesis 1 and 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. I don't know if you've ever studied the 3 minutes of the Big Bang and the miracle that took place. I did a whole sermon series for Perry Stone on this, on his new Bible college on apologetics. You need to go and study the 3 minutes of the Big Bang. Absolute, mind-blowing, complicated miracle. The Bible says that God spoke that complexity into the world with words. It's funny to me, in John 6:63, Jesus said, "Now the Spirit gives you life, that inward endowment. The flesh doesn't help you one bit. But the words, not just positive confession, but look at Pastor, the words, the Word of God. The Word of God that I have spoken to you brings you spirit and brings you life. I am nothing. No one likes me. I am a failure. All my dreams are never going to come to pass. My wife is against me. My children hate me. My mother-in-law hates me. My father-in-law hates me. I'm in the wrong job. I'm not good enough. I'm not good-looking enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't have enough of the right friends. I was born with the wrong family. I don't have any money. And you keep saying those things, and you're going to create the environment in which you're going to believe you should live the rest of your life. But do you ever start saying that I am blessed, and I walk in the favor of God and with man, and there is nothing that's going to happen to me that's going to catch God off guard, that I am walking in divine favor, and that the Lord is for me, He's not against me, and there's no power or principality or darkness in the air or spiritual wickedness in high places, it's going to be by any means able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I am eating healthy and putting into my body what I should put in, and therefore Isaiah 53 says, by His stripes I am healed, and I can walk in divine favor, and I can walk in divine health. I'm paying my tithes, and the Bible says that when I give to you, God, your portion, then you will rebuke the devourer. I'm living in prosperity. I have more than enough. You said you wanted me to spread the gospel around the earth. I'm giving to missions. I'm better today than I've ever been. I'm beautiful. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I am exactly the way God created me. I am more than enough. It's okay to be me. I don't need acceptance by anybody else but God. And when I'm accepted by the beloved, that's all I need. I'm accepted by the beloved. God has a plan for me. He has a purpose for me. God is not mad at me. My marriage is great. My job is wonderful. And one of the things you need to do is when you go to God, rather than talk about all the things you don't have and all the things you need and all the things you're frustrated about, why don't you say, God, thank you for 3 good-looking kids. God, thank you, God, for a 96 on a math test with Lily. God, thank you, Father, for a beautiful wife that supports me in my new vision. God, thank you, Lord, for a church that loves me. Thank you for being in a job where I am celebrated and not tolerated. Thank you, God, that I'm walking in the favor and the goodness of God. What comes out of your mouth will create the environment you live in. I'll give God a hand clap of praise if you don't mind. Now I need to show you something. Man, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The devil does not like for me to teach you this. And I'm trying to get super spiritual, but that's my job. Satan wants to keep you down. He wants you to continue to believe you can't do it. When he knows, as well as I know my grandmother's name, that Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Proverbs 18:21 says that the tongue has the power of life and death, which is actually, it means the strength and power is in the tongue. The tongue is used to speak words. Proverbs 12:14 says, from the fruit of your lips, a man is fulfilled with good things. Do you realize, everybody go to Luke 6:45. The Bible says in Luke 6:45, that good man brings good things out of, there goes your belly and your relationship with God. If there's no word of God in you, there can be no deployment of power outside of you. The man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the things that are stored in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yes. So don't blame God because you tried it for 3 months and it didn't work. You got to keep putting the word of God in you. I'm going to explain how to do that at the end before I give an altar call. And I didn't give an altar call in the first service, but the Lord has told me to do one in this one. Go to Mark chapter 11. Let me show you something. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. Go ahead and come up, Jeremy, but don't play yet, buddy. Have faith in God. Everybody say faith. Not faith in positive speech. Listen, Norman Vincent Peale, I love you, but I'm not talking about you. Faith in God. Theo. For verily I speak unto you that whosoever shall say. And you know what? I was intimidated with this scripture all my life. I never liked to read it. I started this church 18 years ago with a bunch of people, and I'd been hurt by hyper-faith people who I cannot stand their theology. And I've had to grow up and learn that there's some truth to speaking a positive confession. And that just because someone manipulated a doctrine doesn't mean that it was not true. So I stayed away from this verse. Do you realize that what people speak over you, you'll begin to believe? If they tell you, and I'm going to be vulnerable and transparent. And I hate, even as a 50-year-old man, I hate to tell this story. But when I was a child, I was a late bloomer in life. I was a late bloomer intellectually. I was a late bloomer socially. I was a late bloomer in a lot of ways. Good, we're in it together, buddy. I was a late bloomer. And when I was between the eighth grade and the freshman, my whole life changed in a lot of ways. We started going to church. But there were kids who used to call me fat. And they used to say to me, little piggy. And that's what they call me. And it's still to this day, I have to fight it. But as a 50-year-old man, I look back at pictures of me when I was that age and I was skinny. But because of what people spoke over my life, I believed them. You would be shocked if I told you the names, or not the names, the numbers of beautiful girls in this church and that I have pastored over the years, thousands of teenagers, of how many of the top, most popular, beautiful, model-looking girls thought they were ugly. I thought, who told you this? It's not true. It's not the reality. And thank God, about my sophomore year, I started realizing who I was. When you don't know who you are, you act like a kid. When you know who you are and the potential of being a king, you start acting like a king. And I started speaking and understanding who I was, and my mouth changed about what I was saying about myself. Now that sounds simple. I realize that today. But it's one of the most powerful things I will ever teach you about getting the kid out of the king. Because the way it starts was rewiring your system. And the first thing you have to rewire is the speech. Now watch this. The Bible says that I'll say to the mountain. I'll say to the mountain. I'll speak to whatever it is. And it says, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and I'll not doubt in my heart, but shall believe with faith that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever things he speaks. Now, folks, let's just get down and dirty right now. Either this scripture is wrong, which makes all the rest of the Bible wrong, or our childish behavior is keeping us from the dominion God has promised us. So where do you start at? Number one, you got to have faith in God. Verse 22, you got to believe in your heart and put the word in your heart. I've hid the word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I got to learn how to speak like a king. Expect like a king. I can't wait to preach a message in a couple of weeks to you on expectation. You see, 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. How many of you want confidence in approaching God? It says that if we ask, speak, according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us whenever we ask. For we know that whatever we've asked of him, God's going to give it to us. Isaiah said that my word goes out of my mouth and won't return void to me. So I want you to understand that as Christians, our confession should be what we term Bible confessions instead of just a positive confession. And then we're not talking about confessing just our sins. Now, let me ask you a question because I'm going to get you with this. How many of you believe that you should confess with your mouth that you're saved to prove salvation? Can you see hands? Bible clearly says that. How many of you believe salvation is a journey, not an event? Then why do you think confession stops after salvation? You're saved the moment you walk up here. But then it says you have to confess with your mouth you're saved to seal. But then if salvation is a journey, not an event, then why do we think confession stops? God created the whole world with his words. You're ugly. You're going to get a divorce again. You're stupid. No one likes you. You're going to create an environment around people and around your children and around yourself. But if you say, you know what? You're great. God's dominion is in your life. You're beautiful. You're handsome. You can do it. This job's not bigger than you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. That if you'll change the words that you're speaking into the language of an adult, you'll kill the kid in you. Jeremy, go ahead. Psalms 50 and 23. A man's belly, his heart, shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the fruit of his mouth shall bring the increase of his lips. Now, it's worth slowing down and reading that one more time. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the fruit of his mouth shall the increase of his lips be fulfilled. Listen to me. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You need to make and write this down, a never again list. Never again going to speak like a child. How does a child speak? I'm never going again say or confess that I can't. Because Philippians 4 and 13 says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm never again will I confess lack. Because Philippians 4 and 19 says my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm never again going to confess fear. Because 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. I'm never again going to confess doubt or lack of faith because Romans 12 and 3 says God has dealt to every man a measure of faith and I have the faith to get through what I'm going through. I'm never again going to confess weakness because Daniel 11 says in verse 32, the Lord is the strength of my life in Psalms 27 and 1, and the people that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. I'm never going to confess ever again that Satan is supreme in my life. Because 1 John 4 and 4 says, greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. I'm never going to again confess defeat because 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, God has always caused me to triumph over my enemies. I'm never again going to confess lack of wisdom because 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 says, Christ has made me into the wisdom of God Almighty. I'm never going to confess sickness because Matthew 8 and 17 and Isaiah 53 and 5 says, with his stripes I'm healed, and he himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I'm never going to confess worry and frustration another day in my life because 1 Peter 5 and says, cast all of your cares on him, for he careth for you. I'm never going to confess that I live in bondage because 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I am free. I confess it with my mouth. I confess it with the Word of God. The Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm not going to confess condemnation. Romans 8 and 1 says there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. My mama can condemn me. My dad can condemn me. My brother can condemn me. My aunt can condemn me. The world can condemn me. But I'm going to walk around acting like I'm the Prince of Sheba. Because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. I am not defeated. I am not the tail. I am the head. God has a plan for me. And his plans are not to harm me. He's not mad at me. I'm the right of God in Christ Jesus. I speak favor over my life and I am not condemned. I'm never again going to confess I'm lonely. Matthew 28:20 and Hebrews 13:5 says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth." Hebrews says, "I will never leave you and nor forsake you." I'm never going to confess curses or bad luck. Galatians 3:13, verse 14 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. Now the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that may we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." I'm going to learn to walk in faith. I'm going to learn to speak like a king. I'm going to learn to put away childish things. I'm never again going to confess that I'm discontented. Philippians 4:11. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I'm never again going to confess unworthiness, because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He's made him sin to be no sin, who knew no sin, so that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." The Bible says that there's a spirit that puts a deposit in you through the laying on of hands. And that's all I'm going to do today, because I'm going to lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. Mark, Sister Justice, Erica, Andrew Harris, come up here. I'm going to give you 3 seconds to change your life. I'm going to give you 3 seconds to respond. I'm not going to ask twice. I'm going to give you a chance to take the kid out of the kingdom, because there's a kid and childish behavior in you that's destroying your potential. And the Bible says the way it begins to change in your life, when you move from immature behavior to emotionally mature behavior, is that you've got to rewire your systems. 1 Corinthians 13:11. "I will speak, I will understand, and I will think like a man, and I'll put it away." And the first way to get the kid out of the kings is to change the words that are coming out of your mouth and create environments of expectation and hope and faith and love that the words in your mouth. And the way it starts, the Bible says, is to let them lay hands on you, and the spirit and the inward endowment shall be departed inside of you. So if you're ready to get the kid out of the king, and you're ready to be anointed with oil and then walk out and speak faith, on the count of three, come. 1, 2, 3. Line them up. You guys line up in a very neat line for me. Let's just help me. But this is the day that my life changes. I'm going to change what's coming out of my mouth. Now, all of you that are coming and all of you that are remaining seated, I'm going to just practice with you. I want you to lift your hands in the air. I want you to say, "I declare that God has incredible blessings over my life." I want you to say, "I declare I will walk in God's faithfulness." I want you to say, "I declare I have the grace I need for today." I want you to say, "I declare that it's not too late to accomplish everything God has placed in my life. I declare I'm grateful for who God is in my life. I declare I have a legacy of faith, and my children shall serve the Almighty God all the days of their life. I declare and I decree with my mouth that God has a great plan for my life. I declare that God's dreams for my life is coming to pass. I declare unexpected blessings are coming my way. I declare that God will accelerate His plan for my life. I declare that according to Ephesians 3:20, that God is over my life doing exceedingly, abundantly, above all I could ever think, hope, or ask. I declare that I'm special in God's eyes. I declare that God is bringing about a new growth in my life. I declare I will use my words to bless people and not curse them. I declare that I have a sound mind and that I'm in control of my thoughts and my speech. I declare that I will live
of God. I declare that I put my faith behind my actions. I declare that breakthroughs are coming my way. I declare that an anointing is going to get easy in my life. I declare that I am calm, that I am peaceful, and I will not let people or circumstances steal my joy. I declare the supernatural favor of God over my life. I declare I will live in victory. I declare I'm a people builder. I declare I speak positive words. I declare I will not just survive, but I shall thrive. If you believe that, give God a shout of praise in this place.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.